THE CURSE OF CAPISTRANO by Johnston McCulley. CHAPTER I. PEDRO, THE BOASTER. Again the sheet of rain beat against the roof of red Spanish tile, and the wind shrieked like a soul in torment, and smoke puffed from the big fireplace as sparks were showered over the hard dirt floor.
"'Tis a night for evil deeds,"
declared Sergeant Pedro Gonzalez, stretching his great feet in their loose boots toward the roaring fire and grasping the hilt of his sword in one hand and a mug filled with thin wine in the other.
"Devils howl in the wind, and demons are in the raindrops. 'Tis an evil night indeed, eh, senor?"
"It is,"
the fat landlord agreed hastily, and he made haste also to fill the wine mug again, for Sergeant Pedro Gonzalez had a temper that was terrible when aroused, as it always was when wine was not forthcoming.
"An evil night,"
the big sergeant repeated, and drained the mug without stopping to draw breath, a feat that had attracted considerable attention in its time and had gained the sergeant a certain amount of notoriety up and down El Camino Real, as they called the highway that connected the missions in one long chain. Gonzalez sprawled closer to the fire and cared not that other men thus were robbed of some of its warmth. Sergeant Pedro Gonzalez often had expressed his belief that a man should look out for his own comfort before considering others, and being of great size and strength, and having much skill with the blade, he found few who had the courage to declare that they believed otherwise. Outside the wind shrieked, and the rain dashed against the ground in a solid sheet. It was a typical February storm for Southern California. At the missions, the Frailes had cared for the stock and had closed the buildings for the night. At every great hacienda, big fires were burning in the houses. The timid natives kept to their little adobe huts, glad for shelter. And here, in the little pueblo of Reina de Los Angeles, where, in years to come, a great city would grow, the tavern on one side of the plaza housed for the time being men who would sprawl before the fire until the dawn rather than face the beating rain. Sergeant Pedro Gonzalez, by virtue of his rank and size, hogged the fireplace, and a corporal and three soldiers from the Presidio sat at a table a little in rear of him, drinking their thin wine and playing at cards. An Indian servant crouched on his heels in one corner. No neophyte who had accepted the religion of the Frailes, but a Gentile and renegade. For this was in the day of the decadence of the missions, and there was little peace between the robed Franciscans who followed in the footsteps of the sainted Junipero Serra, who had founded the first mission at San Diego de Alcala, and thus made possible an empire, and those who followed the politicians and had high places in the army. The men who drank wine in the tavern at Reina de Los Angeles had no wish for a spying neophyte about them. Just now, conversation had died out, a fact that annoyed the fat landlord and caused him some fear. For Sergeant Pedro Gonzalez, in an argument, was Sergeant Gonzalez at peace. And unless he could talk, the big soldier might feel moved to action and start a brawl. Twice before, Gonzalez had done so, to the great damage of furniture and men's faces, and the landlord had appealed to the commandante of the Presidio, Captain Ramon, only to be informed that the captain had an abundance of troubles of his own, and that running an inn was not one of them. So the landlord regarded Gonzalez warily and edged closer to the long table and spoke in an attempt to start a general conversation and so avert trouble.
"They are saying in the pueblo," he announced, "that this Señor Zorro is abroad again."
His words had an effect that was both unexpected and terrible to witness. Sergeant Pedro Gonzalez hurled his half-filled wine mug to the hard dirt floor, straightened suddenly on the bench, and crashed a ponderous fist down upon the table, causing wine mugs and cards and coins to scatter in all directions. The corporal and the three soldiers retreated a few feet in sudden fright, and the red face of the landlord blanched. The native sitting in the corner started to creep toward the door, having determined that he preferred the storm outside to the big sergeant's anger.
"Señor Zorro, eh?"
Gonzalez cried in a terrible voice.
"Is it my fate always to hear that name, Señor Zorro, eh? Mr. Fox, in other words. He imagines I take it.